We're going to hear the first of our Bible readings this morning from the New Testament, from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, a reasonably familiar passage where Mary, after having heard from the angel of the Lord, comes and she sings this song that we're going to read.
From the Gospel of Luke, and beginning on page 856 of the Pew Bibles. Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. And for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever."
Scripture reading for this morning. Peter Langton is going to come and read to us from Genesis chapter 11, verses 20, is it 27? 27 through to chapter 12, verse 9. So let's hear God's word.
And we, for those using the Pew Bibles, page 8. It starts the title, Terah's Descendants. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and your name, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth you shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the possessions they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From then he moved to the hill country to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. and Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of God.
Heavenly Father, you are faithful in every generation to those who love you. And we can depend on your word, and by faith we live in your provisions and daily care. Although we have not been faithful, you are constantly faithful and true to your word. We therefore ask, O Lord, that you will enable us to understand your word and apply it to our lives, that we might reflect your nature, your faithfulness and truth in all that we say and all that we do. May your Spirit show us how Jesus is our Saviour and how we are to trust in him every day. Help us to believe, forgive our unbelief. Let us find our rest in you alone. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One time the world all spoke one language. They had a common language. I think I preached that sermon last time I was here. In serving their own personal interests, the people of the world began to build a city and a tower that reached into heaven. Then the Lord came down and confused their language, forcing them to spread out across the lands of the world. 10 generations on from the Tower of Babel event and the scattering of the people, we are introduced to a man named Terah. Genesis 11, verse 26 tells us, after Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Historical documents show Abram, Nahor, and Haran were born over a period of about 60 years, with Abram being the youngest of the three sons. Now this fits and helps us understand what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7 about Abraham being called by God from the Ur of the Chaldeans and settling with his father Terah in Haran, where Terah died. The last verses of chapter 11 give us a little more family information. We're told that Haran, the son, Abram's older brother, became the father of Lot, Abraham's nephew. Lot is woven into the story over the next few chapters in Genesis, as Abram takes him with him until they separate because of the abundance of sheep and cattle that they acquire during their wanderings. We're also told that Haran had a daughter who became the wife of her uncle Nahor, Abram's older brother. So another middle brother. Nahor's granddaughter, Rebekah, became the wife of Isaac. But that's still to come. We're not going down that road today. If you have a look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, we read, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, there might be a little bit of confusion arise because I'm pronouncing Haran and Haran the same. One is the person and one is the place. Haran is Terah's oldest son, and Haran, the place, is the place in between Ur of the Chaldeans and the Canaanite, the land of Canaan. So it was round about the middle of the way. But they left Ur and intended to go on to Canaan, but stopped midway and settled at Haran. Now you might notice that Nahor and his wife, Milcah, didn't go with them. They stayed behind in Ur. And that's important for another story later on. Haran himself had died even while Terah and his other sons were still in Ur of Chaldean. Terah himself died at Haran, the place, at a good old age of 205 years. Now that's a very short coming after the years we've been talking about in previous chapters before the flood. The people are living much shorter lives post-flood. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen tells us that what happened next happened to Abram before he even left Ur of the Chaldeans. Have a look at the opening verses, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Now the Lord had Abram do what was most difficult, don't you think? To leave his country and his family. Those who are refugees will tell you how hard that is to leave their country, the country they love, the country they've grown up in, have an affection for, a family that they have loved. Abram's story becomes the center, though, and the focus of much of the world history from the Bible's perspective, of God's salvation story as it plays out through Abram and his descendants, the generations that follow. Go from your country, your relatives, and your father's household, he was told. After Terah died in Haran, Abram is basically alone with his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot. At the age of 75, there might be a few 75-year-olds here able to identify with Abram, except he lived for another 105 years. Look forward to that. At the age of 75, Abram's small band of travellers travelled down from Haran down into Canaan. And we're told he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out from the land of Canaan and they arrived there, for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, he gives us then a fairly detailed description of that land, which doesn't really make much sense to us. But it will mean more as we come to later stories that Moses told for teaching the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. In verse 6 we read, Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. We'll keep on hearing this refrain of the Canaanites lived in that land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, what was it God had given to Abram? I haven't actually read that to you yet in verse 2. Have a look at verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, he said. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. Now, God is making some massive statements here, but they are central to understanding the whole of the Bible. Notice it is the Lord speaking, I will do this, I will do that. It's not, if you do such and such, then I will do this. It's not dependent on Abram, it's not dependent on any other man. But it is I, the Lord. I will do this. To use the title, the Lord tells us God, the covenant making and God making and keeping God will do this. He is faithful to his covenant promises. He is putting his reputation, his faithfulness on the line. Now the Lord promised to make Abram a great nation. He promised to give him a great name. He promised him a great blessing. Now, verse 7 tells us that the Lord promised Abram a land for his descendants to live in. However, apart from a small plot of land with a cave in it that becomes a burial site, Abram never actually owns any of this land. He is a sojourner, a nomadic traveler, but all the earth would be blessed through him. What an amazing thing God promised to Abram. What's he say in Hebrews 11, verse 8? He says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." Don't you think that's amazing? That's how Abraham was thinking. When how much of this, the Bible did he have? Well, we're up to chapter 12 of the first book of the Bible. Abram, who later became known as Abraham, lived by faith. And he followed God's leading. Now, I personally think he was a remarkable man of courage in taking his family to a land and then living without any security of having a place called home within that land. But such was his trust in the Lord in leading him, believing that he was faithful. Now, we're told that Canaanites lived there, and you'll hear that refrain many times in the book of Genesis. They lived in a land that was subject to drought, but also of blessing and abundance. To Abram's descendants, the Canaanites' idols and strange practices, they would prove a stumbling block to Abram's descendants for their being faithful to the Lord their God. God promised Abram a land to live in and that he would become a great nation. That means that Abram was going to grow into a nation of people. The people who became known as the Hebrews or the Israelites, or from the post-exilic days referred to as Jews. Abram is the example of living by faith. He did not live for the present, but looked to later and greater blessings. In conversation with the Pharisees, Jesus said to him, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." This is some 2,000 years after Abraham lived. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Abraham saw the great day of blessing to the nations, fulfilled in the promised Messiah, in Jesus the Christ, and he rejoiced in it. The Apostle Paul used Abraham as an example of faith, saying, "If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God." What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was given a great name, and we'll hear more about that next week. Many found their protection in Abram's shadows. Many people and nations have claimed their heritage in Abraham. His name is claimed by at least three distinct groups of people around the world. those who follow Judaism, those who are Christians, and those who are Muslims. But that's another sermon. The Lord has not finished. Not only did the covenant-keeping God promise a country to live in to Abram, but for Abram's descendants to become a great nation. He also promised to give him, that is Abram, a great name. Over and above that, the Lord promised to give Abram a great blessing. Indeed, the blessing would spill out across the nations, across the people groups around the world, the tribes and all the different languages. It still continues to this day. The Lord had begun to materially bless Abram as he followed the Lord from Ur of the Chaldeans in the east, as we'll find out next time, or the time after. Ur of the Chaldeans, down across to Haran and down into Canaan, what was considered the west of that time. The Lord had begun to materially bless Abram, but he also began to bless him spiritually as he obediently followed. His faith was tested and will be tested again, but the Lord went with him and did not desert him. The blessing the Lord promised to Abram was not just for him, though. The blessing was for all people on earth, for you, for me, if we will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As time passed, more and more of this blessing is experienced and revealed. God's prophet spoke of the one who would be our Savior. He would be a king whose reign would never end. He would be a priest of the order of Melchizedek. He would be a prophet like Elijah. He would be God with us. Now, all this and more, reaching back and fulfilling the promises God made to Abram, is reflected in Mary's song. She herself was a humble servant of the Lord and is greatly blessed in bearing the Son of us, of our salvation and peace with God. Mary sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has fulfilled the hungry with good things. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." The Lord Jesus, by human descent, was born a descendant of Abraham. In him is the blessing to all peoples of the earth. His nature, who he is and what he did, is used by God to bring us forgiveness of sins and to receive us as a family of God. Jesus is the object of our faith. We trust in him for our salvation. He is our prophet, our priest, our king. We walk by faith, just like Abram of old, trusting God and being glad to do his will. The Lord shows us mercy and forgiveness for all transgressions that we have done. He calls us his children, fellow heirs with Jesus, and delights in us as we live by faith in his Son. To reject the Saviour, Jesus, is to reject the loving, faithful compassion of God, our Creator. He loves all who love him and trust in him. There comes a day when Jesus will separate believers and unbelievers. Believers will be with him in eternity, while unbelievers will be turned away in condemnation. Let us not be found wanting in trusting in Jesus, but learn to walk by faith now. It does not matter who you are or what you have done. God's love, God's salvation reaches across all the divides that we ourselves put between ourselves and others. God reaches out to save the least, the needy, the lost. His mansion has room for many. Do not delay your journey with God. Let it begin today with one step of reaching out to God in faith and repentance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, from the beginning of time, you purposed in your heart that we should be holy and blameless. We pray that will be our hope as we live by faith in Jesus. Abraham walked by faith, leaving his kin and country to follow you wherever you led him. Let us have that same faith to follow you in doing whatever you want us to do. Give us courage to stand before our peers as those who love Jesus. May they also come to trust in Jesus and be saved. Let them walk with faith, even as we do, and look forward to the day when we shall see the fullness of our salvation. We pray your grace and your mercy will be with us now and always. Amen.